Hi, everybody. This is KegelCast from Kegel.com and Kegel Cartoons Newspaper Syndicate. It's all about political cartoons and cartoonists and about the news and issues. These will be the top 10 most reprinted cartoons in America from last week. I'm Daryl Kegel, and I am here with Brian Farrington, our editor here at Kegel Cartoons.
Hey, Daryl.
And we're going to talk you through all the cartoons. Be sure to subscribe and visit KegelCast.com to see all the cartoons in case you're getting the audio podcast and you need to look at some pictures, and all you're getting are descriptions. So, Brian, you want to get started?
Yeah, let's get started and see what the popular cartoons of last week were.
So this is the number one cartoon, and this one is by Rick McKee, and I think this is just a brilliant cartoon about the high price of eggs.
Yeah, it is, and also the way Rick chose to capture that iconic image from Indiana Jones, and also the fact that it has no words, and so it's just an image, very powerful. I can see why editors would have chosen that one as the most...
also not a metaphor we see very often. I don't recall ever seeing an Indiana Jones cartoon.
I don't either. I'm a big fan of Indiana Jones. I've seen it 100 times, and so it's very recognizable for me. Maybe not my kids, but for me, and I thought it was brilliant. I even sent Rick an email saying that was a great cartoon. So
We've seen a whole lot of cartoons about the high price of eggs. You know, editors like cartoons that are neither from the left or right, liberal, conservative, and everybody can agree that eggs are expensive. So this one offends no one, and no one writes a letter to the editor.
Yeah, and this is the kind of cartoon that, like you said, editors like, because it's not political one way or the other necessarily, and it's sort of the man on the street, mom and pop at home, and how it affects them, inflation, and eggs are the hot topic next to AI taking over the world. It's expensive eggs, so
and classified documents.
And classified Although documents.
Those are sometimes left or right.
Right. But yeah, this is a great cartoon, and I it's one that I don't. It's no mystery why it was number one this week.
Congratulations to Rick on this one. So here's the number two cartoon. This is artificial intelligence, which is one of the hot topics right now. This one's from John Darko, who draws from Missouri. And the ChatGPT says, crime, war, pandemics, climate change, riots, hatred, unplug me now. And the technician says, boy, it is intelligent.
Yeah, another hot topic, and it's going to be a hot topic, especially in our community for a long time. But I can see a lot more cartoons about ChatGPT and AI coming down the pike. So,
editors love the ChatGPT cartoons.
It might put editors out of business, so we'll see how well they like it down the road.
Oh, yeah. You know, back to that one, you know, they had a little kind of a mini scandal about the CNET site having their articles written by AI. And I think that's... very disturbing, and cartoonists are all talking about how our artificial intelligence could be replacing the editorial cartoonists soon because AI draws cartoons so well.
Well, in its current incarnation, it can copy existing, you know, basically it generates what's fed into it. It has trouble repeating the same thing. So if you had a comic strip, for example, and you had to repeat the same characters, it couldn't do that in its current state, but it will eventually. It's like every other computer chip where it's improving, doubling on itself in a short period of time. That's exactly what will happen. So it'll be interesting to see in a couple of years, 5 years, 10 years, what happens.
It also seems to have trouble drawing fingers. Fingers kind of turn into spaghetti and turn into things. But yeah, I'm afraid they're going to solve all those problems.
So then it'll be lawyers suing about copyright and the trademark. That's where it'll end up. So we'll see what the
court has to say. Well, I don't know. The artificial intelligence passes the law school exams. they may be suing each other.
That's a low bar, no pun intended. But
oh, dear. Okay, so this one's by R.J. Mattson, our brilliant cartoonist from Maine who drew for many years for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And Spillboard that says, got classified documents in your house? Call 1-800-WHOOPS. Because everybody's got secret documents in their house. And I see why editors like this, because both Democrats and Republicans have secret documents in their house.
Yeah, this is a bipartisan cartoon for sure. So, and editors like to, especially in this climate, they like to choose cartoons that aren't going to generate a lot of phone calls. And this is one that sort of hits both sides equally. So easy to see why this one was also one of the most downloaded of last week.
This one is by our anonymous cartoonist, Rivers. We don't tell anybody who Rivers is. And this one has the groundhog talking to a bear. The groundhog says,
"Do you have any idea the amount of pressure I'm under? Millions of people rely on me to make or break the plans for spring."
And the bear says, "Dude, you work like one day a year."
Love the voices, Daryl. You have another profession in mind.
I love you too, Brian.
But yeah, this is a great cartoon, hitting two tones at once with Groundhog Day and the price of things. So yeah, it's a great cartoon. And Rivers has a classic cartoon style, very reminiscent of what editors love to run. So.
And Rivers is great, and you don't have to know who Rivers is. Uh-oh.
Another angry editor calling us.
Oh, boy, we do get calls from angry editors.
Yes, yes.
All right, here's a Groundhog cartoon from Dave Womond, a brilliant cartoonist from Canada who we say is an American cartoonist because if we said he was from Canada, the editors would not want to, well, I shouldn't say they wouldn't want to print his cartoons. They would just find his cartoons to be invisible. Editors like... American cartoonists in America and outside of America, they like non-American cartoonists, and editors just don't like to cross borders with their cartoons.
You know, Dave is a cartoonist that draws a lot of gag cartoons and things like that, and he sort of did it in the way he set this up. It's a Groundhog Day, so it's timely. Obviously, Groundhog Day was this week, but it's sort of a word pun with the shadow band, obviously the shadow from Groundhog Day and shadow banning being a thing. So it's sort of a play that he chose. And editors scramble for holiday cartoons, Groundhog, 4th of July, New Year's, all those kinds of things are very popular.
And since this is mostly an audio podcast, I will read this. This big sign says Groundhog Day, and the two Groundhog Day officials in top hats say, "Where's the groundhog?" The other one says, "He said something controversial on social media and he was shadow banned." I think that's a funny cartoon.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so here's another artificial intelligence cartoon. You know, we're seeing a whole lot of these. The two robots shaking hands. One says, "You're hired." And the people waiting in line to get a job curse in cartoon Comic-Con and say, "Artificial intelligence."
Yeah, again, we're going to see a lot of AI cartoons for quite some time. And this is just another take on it. But yeah, so we're going to see a lot of these.
They're taking our jobs. All right, this cartoon is by our conservative cartoonist, Gary McCoy. It's a couple in the kitchen. Mom is cooking on the gas stove. And Dad says, "What's for dinner, honey?" And she says,
"Your favorite, liver and onions."
And the little boy says, behind the door, into the phone, he says,
"Hello, FBI. I'd like to report a woman using a gas stove."
So this is a conservative cartoon because conservatives are up in arms about liberals wanting to ban gas stoves. And they have in a couple of places in California. They're talking about doing it here in LA.
And that worries me because I love my gas stove. I can't imagine cooking on something not a gas stove, but there's going to be some pushback on that. But this is definitely a hot topic amongst the conservative and the conservative circles. And Gary certainly peeled that onion, as it were. But yeah, it's a hot topic. And Gary's one of our hard-hitting conservatives. And we'll see what else he has to come up with. But
oh, here's another one from R.J. Matson up in Maine, and another government secrets cartoon. And we're looking at a drop-off like you would have for Goodwill with your old clothes. And it says, "Got government secrets, safe and secure, return." That's funny. It's a nice... nice composition. You've got the Capitol and the Washington Monument in the background, a jogger in the park. Lovely cartoon.
Yeah, and it's a great drawing, great perspective, very simple. It sort of plays both sides. And I think that's why it's popular. It doesn't really focus necessarily on the conservatives or the liberals or Democrats or Republicans. It's sort of across the board, which right now that's what the topic is. But yeah,
another great nonpartisan cartoon.
Yeah, great cartoon.
Okay, here's another cartoon by John Darko, our cartoonist in Missouri. And you got the guy in the top hat who's the official at the Groundhog thing with Punxsutawney Phil. Punxsutawney Phil says,
"You don't believe in climate change, but you want a furry rodent to tell you the weather for the next 6 months? Weeks?" It was weeks, not months. "I'm going back to bed."
I thought that was a funny cartoon.
Yeah, that's a great
one. What's not for an editor to like? You don't get any angry letters to the editor when you have an angry groundhog.
Yeah, great cartoon, and very timely.
Okay, and this is number 10. It's by our conservative cartoonist, Dick Wright. The Democrats are looking at Speaker McCarthy with his vacuum cleaner that's sucking up probably the three Democrats that he kicked off of the committees. And the Democrats say, "Has anybody seen Schiff, a Swalwell around?" And this is a very conservative cartoon taking glee in knocking those Democrats off of the committees. So I'm kind of surprised to see this show up in the top 10. Once in a while, partisan cartoons show up in the top 10, but not a whole lot. More likely to see a gas stove than
well, this story was a big one.
McCarthy.
Yeah, the story was a big one that got a lot of play outside of classified documents and Groundhog and AI. I mean, this was a big story, so I can see editors wanting to sort of move away from that. And that's a great Kevin McCarthy caricature. Dick really nailed him. So, but yeah, it's a great cartoon. Dick's one of our popular. He always shows up. He's probably our most popular conservative cartoonist. So he's
by and large, the conservative editors tend to print the same cartoons that the liberal editors do, which are the cartoons no one would disagree with. But
right.
More often, of course, you'll see conservative artists picking up the conservative cartoons. And, you know, most newspapers are tiny little papers that are in rural and suburban areas, and they tend to have conservative readerships. So those little papers play to the readers, and our statistics, you can see our statistics here. We get a graph of what cartoons perform well, and you'll see that a lot of the same cartoonists show up at the top. We have about 60 cartoonists that we represent in our group, and we have about 500 newspapers, and we deliver about 120, 130 cartoons a week. So it is very impressive to see the same guys always rising to the top. The editors do have their favorites.
Yeah, and another statistic is today most newspapers are considered weeklies, and they have been for probably a decade now. And most of them have circulation under 5,000, and that's been holding steady in those small rural areas for the better part of the last decade. That those are the bread and butter, and those are the ones that are holding steady. It's the larger markets that are struggling, but the smaller ones seem to holding in there. So fingers crossed.
So, hey, we worry about that because, you know, we're a business that sells to newspapers, and as newspapers disappear, so does our business. So, fingers crossed. Editorial cartoons, we're going to try to find a way to make them survive. It's editorial cartoons are important. We've got a larger audience for editorial cartoons than we've ever had before, just because of the web, but the web doesn't pay. It's newspapers that pay. So our profession is endangered, and we worry about that. But so come to Kegel.com and look at the cartoons, subscribe to Kegelcast, and just being part of one of our fans and watching all of these things, it helps the profession. And
that's right. We appreciate our fans and readers and anything. And we appreciate them and all they do to keep the great American art form of editorial cartoons alive.
Okay, so we'll have another Kegelcast for you soon. And we'll do the top 10 every week. And we're going to have some interviews with many of the world's top cartoonists here. And that'll be lots of fun. Anything to add, Brian?
Looking forward to interviewing those guys. Hopefully they'll get a lot of background. And hopefully people will tune in. It'll be a lot of interest.
This is just our second episode. There will be many more. And thank you for coming. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Daryl.